The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. No Jason Wilde for the time being. One of the bummers that they're doing all this renovation work at Lambeau Field is that he's not able to host the show from there to make it just one quick segment where he's over on the sidelines whenever he's on his way over to training camp, mini camp. So a little extra time away for Jason. He will rejoin us at 10:30, which is the time that Packers mandatory mini camp practice is set to get underway up in Green Bay. We're going to hear from Jason catching up with Jordan Love at the American Family Insurance Championship on Friday afternoon. His exclusive one-on-one conversation.
Exclusive?
Yeah, it was a big deal. Made the rounds. Ian Rappaport, I saw, tweeted us, among many others, sharing the conversation that they had. It was Jordan Love's first time talking since Aaron Rodgers officially joined the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. First, Tausch, I did ask Jason this question over the weekend. I was hosting the shows all weekend long at the AmFam Championship. He joined both of them on Saturday and Sunday. Yep, big work week for me. You know that.
Put a lot of hours in last week.
What can we learn about the 2025 Green Bay Packers at mandatory minicamp this week, if anything?
I think you can get a better understanding of kind of where they're thinking they're going to start training camp with their wide receivers. I think you can get a better understanding of what they're thinking offensive line-wise. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is just getting guys back into it. This isn't going to be, you know, they're important things to be at, to be a part of your team, and to start building all of those connections to give your team that best opportunity to come together faster. Because, you know, there's 17 games and there's a long training camp, but these mandatory mini camps, this gives you your first glimpse. You got the OTAs. But this gives you the first glimpse. If there are guys that are unhappy, they're going to be there, they're not going to be there, and you get that the idea of where coaches see guys fitting and see how they're going to go into training camp in competition. And with an offensive line that Adam Stenovich brought, you know, basically said there's three job openings that are wide open. Whether or not that's accurate, we'll find out. But it's just the beginning of this process of going through a regular season. This is kind of the first glimpse and the first look at what that's going to look like.
Minicamp practice kicks off at the bottom of the hour. Jason will rejoin us in a couple of segments. First, let's take this opportunity for those of you who did not see this. So Friday afternoon, we hosted our show at the AmFam Championship, day one on Friday. Jordan Love was in attendance. I saw, Tausch, you had a chance to catch up with the quarterback. Coors Light in hand for yourself. That was a nice picture that we saw make the rounds on social media. And then Jason also had a chance to catch up with Jordan Love. He did a little press conference in the media center. Jason was able to pull him aside afterward. And here, if you did not have a chance to hear it yet, is the 2 minutes and 30 seconds of Jason Wilde catching up with Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
So you saw the news yesterday, obviously.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was the first thought that went through your mind?
I was excited for A-Rod. I don't think I was too surprised. I feel like there was a lot of rumors going on throughout the whole offseason about him going to the Steelers. So, you know, I was excited for him that he was obviously coming back, going to be playing. You know, there's also rumors that he might be done. So, just knowing he's going to keep playing, you know, that's pretty awesome.
So, we've talked before about how crazy 2008 was with the transition.
Mm-hmm.
The way he left, Tausch and I were talking about it today, it did make it a hell of a lot easier on you than Favre did on him.
Mm-hmm.
How much did that, I don't want to say mean to you, but it really did kind of help you hit the ground running and not have to deal with controversy and people booing you. And that, was that valuable? Do you look back on that with appreciation, or how do you view that?
No, 100%. No, I appreciate definitely the way A-Rod just handled being in that situation. And I think a big part of it was what she told me was, you know, he knows kind of how it was for him being in the same position and things that he went through and just the way the situation might have been handled. And I think his perspective was, you know, I'm trying to go about this a little bit differently, which I think was awesome. And I think in my time with A-Rod, you know, we had a great relationship. It was awesome being in the room with him, be able to learn. And he was amazing with everything. And, you know, I definitely appreciate the way he handled everything on the outside with obviously leaving and me taking over and things like that. And I think he's been great, very supportive of me, and definitely helped, you know, with some of the negativity and things like that that might come with that. But I think A-Rod handled like a pro and did me very, very right.
But that's how it was privately with you, too. Like, he actually did help you. Right.
Yeah.
And that was not what he experienced. You think that was a motivation for him not to put you in the same situation he was?
Definitely. I think a lot of that was, you know, he's been through the very same situation I was in, and he knows what it feels like to be in that situation. So I think that's a testament to his character and the way he treats people. You know, he was trying to go about it differently than it was for him, and you know, I was grateful for that.
So last thing about him, the 26th of October, I was obviously here in 09 for Brett.
Yep.
What's it going to be like for you, you think, to be on the same field with him?
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it. You know, I can't wait to be on different sides, meeting up. And I know we'll talk pregame, things like that. And hopefully we can exchange jerseys after.
There it is. Jason Wilde with Jordan Love at the AmFam Championship on Friday afternoon. Tausch, what do you think?
I thought it was insightful. Obviously, that first reaction to something that I think most of us thought was going to happen. But I just keep coming back to the points that we talked about. I guess it was on Friday. And that is, when you're making that transition from one star quarterback to another and how that played out, it's really difficult on a fan base, on an organization. And I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers did this deliberately and intentionally, because I think in his heart of hearts, he would have, looking back at it, I think he probably would have loved to have just kept playing in Green Bay. Maybe he'll disagree with me on that, but I'm guessing when he comes back and retires and is a Hall of Famer and all that stuff, he did such a solid by his approach, and he ended up taking on all of the shrapnel, and I don't think that was intentional. I think that's just the way he went about his business and how he carried himself and handled himself to bring this fan base to a point where it was, I would say, close to 100% we're ready to make this move and give the keys over to this young player who has not done anything really in this league, is such a service to Jordan, and it made his life that much easier, because this scenario was always going to be difficult. And it was. And you saw Jordan go through a lot of stuff. But I do think Aaron Rodgers did, whether it was intentional or not, he made Jordan Love's life a heck of a lot easier to make that monster move from being a first-round pick to being the starting quarterback for the G&G. And to be able to unify a fan base the way the Packers and Jordan Love did because of Aaron Rodgers made this transition that much easier, and Aaron was not afforded that same luxury. And to Aaron's credit, he found a way and was able to do it. Jordan Love had his path was a lot less resistant. You didn't have the Jesse Nelsons buying Jets jerseys of Aaron Rodgers and booing the quarterback for the G&G. None of that was in play. And I think Jordan Love appreciates and is thoroughly, you know, enjoyed that is how that process unfolded. And I think he is very thankful that is the way it played out.
If you missed any of that conversation or you want to listen to it again, it is available on the Wilde and Tausch social media platforms on Twitter and Facebook. You can find it there. It's also available on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Subscribe to the Green and Gold Fix podcast, where you can find all the best Packers conversation from ESPN Wisconsin on the Green and Gold Fix podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jason Wilde with Jordan
Love. I don't know Jordan Love great, but he is even keeled.
Yeah.
I will be really curious. Like, how many times have we seen him show a ton of emotion on the sideline? Like, how many times have we seen him? He hasn't fired a tablet yet. He has not screamed at his receivers, and I'm not saying he should. But just the way he handled this, you know, and again, I wasn't expecting him to be super, you know, demonstrative in his little spot here with Jason. But it just was, it just sounds so cool, like just easy. You're not seeing all that. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not saying either way. I liked even keel, but there are times you got to let it rip too. I'm going to be really curious because that game is going to be hypercharged. Obviously, the opener against Detroit will be too for different reasons. But the emotional side of football, there is, I think, a faucet that you have to – it kind of just – you want to keep it a nice, steady flow. And then there's sometimes you need to shut it off. Gets cold out, whatnot. I do want to see some times where we open that baby up and let it go. I think that Pittsburgh game is going to be one of those games. I think that's going to be one of, and I think his last time he played Pittsburgh was one of those cases where I think Matt LaFleur got a lot out of that. And he let it rip. And that really was the start of the Jordan Love that we've seen now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all comes together. I'm sure we'll talk more with Jason about this when he rejoins the show from Packers mandatory minicamp practice, which does get started in just a little bit. Jason will rejoin the show shortly, but before he does, it is time for us to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. Tausch, you are the brand new owner of a Vortex rangefinder of your own this week on the show. Yep, congratulations on your asterisk championship yesterday afternoon. Someone will win this contest legitimately this week, the final week of Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf, in which we have a rangefinder to give away. So you're going to want to get in if you've been thinking about it. Caller number 13, lucky 13 today at 844-770-3776 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Why caller 13, you may ask? Today's category, as requested by one Mark Tauscher. Do you remember what you requested yesterday?
Canadian trivia?
Canadian geography is today's trivia category. Canadian geography. Oh. Caller 13 in honor of the 13
Manitoba
provinces or territories. Caller 13, 844-770-3776. Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Canadian geography. We'll play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch back with you. Jason getting situated at Packers mandatory minicamp, where he'll share insights and observations throughout the remainder of the show. Jesse and Tausch for the time being, and it is time to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Today's contestant, someone who played last week and did not win. Back on the horse for another go, Matt in West Bend. Matt, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia. How you doing?
Doing well. Good morning, guys.
Any thoughts or opinions on Tausch cheating his way to a Vortex prize pack championship during his charity outing yesterday?
You got to get the Vortex any way you can. I'll take it.
Matt willing to cheat his way to a championship. That will not be allowed in the official contest
will you
rules.
Stop saying that it was cheating. In your mind, you could say that was not cheating at all.
This championship yesterday for Old T and his pals comes with an asterisk. 13 mulligans used mostly for putts.
I literally, outside of you and Jason, have heard no one else say that.
We have been ridiculed for those who seem to be more familiar with the situation. So take that for what it's worth. Canadian geography is today's category for Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Tausch, you want to play along? I assume that's the whole point of why we're doing this.
I do, and yeah. I will be very disappointed if Manitoba is not one of the answers.
Why? You just like Manitoba? You like saying Manitoba? Like,
it's a fun word to say. Okay. Yes. And it's, I believe, a province. So let's get it going.
Matt and West Bend, question number one. Toronto, Ottawa, and Hamilton are all major Canadian cities located in which province? Ontario, British Columbia, or the French Quarter?
Ontario.
Tausch?
No, I'm going to agree.
Yeah, okay. I'll assume you're going to agree unless you say otherwise. I think that's probably best here. You are correct, Matt. Ontario is where you can find those three cities. Question number two. Latitudinally, which of these Canadian provinces or territories extends farthest north? Is it Alberta, Nunavut, or Nova Scotia?
B, Nunavut.
Oh, Tausch is hesitating. Tausch is hesitating.
I'm going to say Nova Scotia.
Matt is correct.
Atta baby, Matt.
None of it. Which is also very fun to say. That is the province or territory that extends the farthest north in Canada. A chance for a perfect day and a chance to continue a perfect week for Matt and West Bend with question number three. By population, according to the 2024 census, which of these Canadian hockey cities is the largest? Manitoba, I regret to inform you, Tausch, is not one of the options.
Oh.
Sorry. By population, which of these Canadian hockey cities is the largest? Calgary, Edmonton, or Winnipeg?
Oh, boy. Calgary.
Matt says Calgary. Old T?
Winnipeg.
One of you is correct. And it's Matt. Calgary, the fourth largest city by population in Canada. Can you name the three in front of it? I bet you can.
Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver.
Nailed it. Followed by, in order, Calgary, Edmonton, Ottawa, and Winnipeg. Those are your top seven. Nicely done, okay. Matt. A perfect 3-for-3 in Canadian geography, which means you have all four
no mulligans
entries.
Needed for Matt either.
Didn't even need a mulligan to try and win his way to a chip later this week in our drawing for the Vortex swag bag, including a rangefinder for the final time with our friends from Vortex Golf. Matt, thank you so much for playing. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Matt in West Bend. We're big in West Bend. He is our contestant for Wildy and Tausch Trivia, once again presented by Vortex Golf Rangefinders. You can bet on Jason Wildy joining us from the sideline, sharing his insights and observations as Packers mandatory minicamp kicks off here on this Tuesday morning in Titletown. Jason Wildy rejoins the show next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
The Packers mandatory minicamp day one is underway inside, well, the stretching part of it is anyway, inside the Don Hutson Center. They will move outside to Ray Nitschke Field for the remainder of practice. I am searching high and low for guys who may or may not be here. I do not see Elgton Jenkins yet, but again, reportedly he did report to mandatory minicamp. We'll see how much he does and how long it takes me to locate big number 74.
He ain't going to be doing anything.
No, I think you're right. He may be, my vision is not what it used to be. He may be over on the elliptical or on the recumbent bikes, getting a little slow ride in.
Jason, what happens? What happens if, you know, he comes? He's there because you don't want to get fined. I mean, he's Marshawn.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. Indeed.
What if they say, now put your helmet on, you're going to be center today?
Well, he could also be left guard because it appears Aaron Banks is not participating. He's over there by the bikes, etc., along with Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur not on a bike, though. He's just standing chatting right now. But but no Aaron Banks today either, it would appear, for the first
probably practice of day off.
You think so? We're already doing vet days off?
I have no clue.
That would be a lot. They've worked them very hard, you know, so far this offseason. I am curious to see, as I have pointed out before, and I do not want to sound unappreciative of the PR staff's efforts to get us players, the two OTA practices, but because they're still renovating the home locker room, we are not inside the locker room for interviews. They bring us selected players. Keyshawn Nixon leading the way as they run their sprints, by the way. That's taking on the role of CB1, of course. But Tausch, I don't know who's going to be available to us today. Keyshawn talked last week, and now obviously that corner group is one of the things that we're going to be really, really, really interested in terms of how it shakes out and how effective this group will be now that it is official that Jair Alexander is no longer a member of this team. And so, Keyshawn did proclaim himself CB1 at locker room cleanout, and now he's going to have every opportunity to be that. What are your expectations there, at least as of now, as we sort of start this process of officially being without Jair Alexander on the roster?
It'll be him, and it'll be Valentine, it'll be Hobbs, and then I think the question mark is going to be, what do you do with that safety group? You know, Xavier McKinney's going to be where he's going to be, and I think Evan Williams would be opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it comes down to, you know, Bullard. Is there, you know, a Kaling? Is somebody else going to emerge? What are they going to do? You know, Micah Robinson's a seventh-round pick. I would think, unless there's an injury or he really pops, I would think he'll be kind of one of those guys, special teams, and then you kind of work your way and hopefully earn some opportunities. But this is your group as we sit here today. Now, there are guys out there. There are going to be some players that will be available. What that might look like, it's not going to be markedly different than what we thought prior to Jair. So this is the group. And by the way, Jair missed a lot of games last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And you picked up Hobbs. I think the big question mark, you know who Keyshawn Nixon is. You're getting a better understanding. And I think Valentine, you said it, they asked him to do things. He keeps doing what they're asking. I wouldn't be shocked if he takes a big jump, if he ends up being DB1. I don't think that's crazy talk. We'll see, obviously, but they like him. And just because he's a late-round pick doesn't mean he can't be DB1. Tremont Williams wasn't in the league. He was on practice squads. Tell you something. Pretty doggone good DB1 back in the day. So there's a process that you go through, and I know everybody wants, you know, everybody wants instant mashed potatoes. I want it done now. Tastes a heck of a lot better when you actually go through the process. And that's a hard thing to go about. And let kind of mature, but a lot of guys need that. Not everybody's a first round pick that is just so uber talented they can go play and do it right away. That's just not the reality. And Green Bay, while they've spent picks on first and second round corners, they have not worked out. And that's how you get left in a position where you have a seventh round pick and where you have a guy that's a predominantly as a kick returner, elevated and given themselves opportunities to do it. And it's mainly, I mean, this wasn't the plan when you drafted Stokes. I think Stokes and I think the plan was we're going to let this thing ride with Jair and Stokey for a while. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that while didn't really ever come to fruition.
What is there something to be said? And I know Mark Murphy said this to Channel 2 up here in Green Bay yesterday at some sort of golf event. Is there something to be said for having experience of playing without Jair, like having done it as much as they have? Is there value in that?
Well, there's value in guys getting experience and growing and understanding what it's going to take to play and how you prepare and how you go about your business. You paid Jair and you wanted him to play a heck of a lot more than he did over the last three or four seasons. But is there, if you're looking for silver linings in this, yeah, the silver lining is that Keyshawn Nixon got a heck of a lot more reps running where he is because Jair was gone. And the same thing with Valentine.
Right.
So you hope that translates into somebody emerging as that next guy. But do I think that either of these players are going to be, I mean, who's the number one shutdown corner in the league right now? Who would be that guy?
Patrick Surtain.
Okay, from Denver.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Are you going to have a Patrick Surtain? I don't think so. I don't think these guys are that. Do you need it? No. Certainly would be nice. And I think it makes your defensive coordinating a lot easier if you have a guy that you know, man, I feel good, go. Let him do his thing and we'll figure the rest of it out. And I think for a stretch we felt that way about Jair. And I saw an interesting stat, and I think it was from the 2020 season. Somebody, I apologize for my non-recognizable Twitter, but they went through the list of wide receivers in 2020 that Jair covered. And I'm talking, it was a murderer's row of wideouts, and there was nothing. The production was nothing. And I don't envision that being the case with this group as it's currently constituted.
And we still don't know, as I was talking about with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, we still don't know exactly what Nate Hobbs is, right? We know that they paid him. But like you always point out, he is physical, yes, based on the two games of him that I watched. But as you always point out, this is, this is a league where you have to prove yourself constantly. He was a fifth-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick like Jair, so he has to prove himself there. And, whether you think he's an inside guy, an outside guy, his contract, like you always say, the way they do this here now, it's basically a two-year deal. Like, it's not like he got some sort of blockbuster deal that ensures that he's going to be CB1 and be that for the next 4 years. We don't know what exactly he is at this point either.
Yeah, Jason, that contract doesn't tell me that they're expecting him to be DB1. I think they're expecting someone else. I think they're looking at him as a slot guy that can potentially be a two. Maybe he could be a one if everything strikes right and he stays healthy and, he brings that physical play to this defense. You never know. But the contract, money talks and tells you. The money would tell you that they look at him as a second or a third corner at best. That's what that contract tells. And they can get out of it after a year. I mean, it would sting a little bit, but this is one of those, and we're going to take a flyer on somebody we feel is pretty doggone good. And if things, in this system, we can get some really good production out of him, we're going to be happy with that. I would guess that this is going to be a position that Green Bay will keep their eyes wide open if there's someone that they feel can come in that room and elevate the rest of their play. But I think they did their, everybody was talking about all the room and they need to go do something. I heard, KPN yesterday talking, or I saw a clip on Twitter of, I think it was Kyle talking about Goody doesn't want to chase a championship because he didn't do any. Guys, nobody expected Jair back. They knew what they were doing. That's why they picked up Hobbs.
Correct.
And you can argue and say, well, they didn't do enough. As I said yesterday, we'll find out. We'll find out if they did enough. It's definitely a point, but to say that Goody's not chasing a championship. Now, again, that $46 million in cap space that's sitting there, that to me is the intriguing part of this. What is their plan? And it tells me that Zach Tom and Quay Walker are more than likely the two guys that I think you're going to end up seeing getting at some point. And I don't know if they've changed their philosophy. That seems like it's going to be either a preseason before camp starts or in-season contract extension guys to use that money for that. Because it's
right.
Everybody thinks, well, that money, you got to go spend it. You should. But that doesn't mean you can't procure talent and keep those guys off the market so that your free agency class isn't going to be, especially with all of these young players that you're going to either evaluate and see if you want to pay or you know you want to pay. You want to put that money. You don't want to be putting everything on layaway. Go purchase something. Bring it in and let's get it working.
I got to say, I'm standing here and Tucker Kraft and Dontavian Wicks are playing catch. I don't want to give away any fake play or trick plays that they might run, but those two guys can throw the football now. Like, they're throwing it 40 yards back and forth to each other. Perfect spirals on target. Dontavian Wicks left-handed, by the way. Well, he did. I think it was 8 or 9-man football. He certainly ran the ball a lot during his time playing high school football in South Dakota. But yeah, he can sling it, and so can Dontavian Wicks. Well, it's impressive.
And he's played quarterback, I think, 8 or 9 times already.
This is what I'm driving at, is that instead of a tuck keeper or whatever they're going to call their version of that.
You don't want to stay down on the sidelines, do you?
Just saying. Might not be a bad idea. I'm just saying. What I am saying is that Kohler Services has been a great partner of ours for a very long time. I don't know when the renovation is for that ugly bathroom, but man, what a great promotion that was. And you did such a great job with it.
Oh, I can't wait to tell. Hopefully I'm going to be able to get down there and take a mall and just beat that thing down so we can get that new Kohler Lugstone shower in our winner's new bathroom. And if you're looking to get a new bathroom or update your shower, our friends at Kohler Services has an offer for you. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, get 0% financing for 12 months and a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com. Jason, has our boy Banksy spoken to you guys yet?
He did. He spoke last week. I wrote about him on Channel 3000. Sorry you missed that. So, no, I don't think he'll be available today. Elton Jenkins, I can confirm, is here. He is on a bike. He's not even wearing his number 74 jersey, so that's why it was hard to find him. He is wearing a hoodie, which, I'm partial to. But he is here. He is not taking part. The stretch and the special teams periods have been completed. We're going to get to some quasi-real football here coming up. There's somebody that
I'll tell you this as you're getting situated.
I'm situated.
The fact that you just said that, and we heard this report earlier, but the fact that Elton Jenkins is here for the mandatory minicamp, I do believe, I do declare.
Are you teasing us out?
Do you have another read, or can I tease out?
No, go right ahead. Yeah, I just want
to. Oh, thank you. Thanks for interrupting, as I had a great flow going with my tease. The fact that Elton Jenkins is here in Green Bay in June, on the 10th of June, for this mandatory minicamp is a great sign. A great sign. I will tell you why I believe that next. It's Wildy and Tosh.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Atlanta Braves.
Durbin, a drive, left center, deep, see you later! Caleb Durbin, turn out the lights!
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Packers continuing their on-field drill work at the first of 3 days of mandatory minicamp. Kalen King has a cast on his right arm. That's not super helpful for a guy who's got a chance to break into the rotation
at corner.
It's going to
happen. Now is the time.
It's a good point. Now is also the time for Tausch to pay off his tease, having told us that the fact that Elgton Jenkins is here is a very good sign. I'm eager to know why, because we were just talking about how it's a I'm just here so I don't get fined situation. So tell us more, O prescient one.
So we obviously knew, and Jason, we on this show a while ago kind of talked that Elgton Jenkins was unhappy, or that he wanted some guarantees, and he should, as his contract doesn't have any left and moving a new position. So it's a money thing, and Elton's been a really good pro for this team. He has been as versatile of a lineman as anybody I can remember. He's played everywhere. He's played him at high levels, and the Packers are asking him to move spots at the back end of his career where they make less money, and he is openly and happily going to do it. So this thing could have gotten super contentious, like it is in Cincy with Hendrickson. I don't know the Watt scenario, but he is not there. And when you are under contract and don't report, there's $104,000, 104,000 reasons to report. But I think the moment you don't report, all of a sudden there is a bigger fracture and there's no communication. Here, Elgton is kind of putting an olive branch out. Now, is it a $104,000 olive branch? Yes. I am not trying to diminish that the money is a big part of this. But he could have easily done that and then said, whatever new deal I get, I'm getting $104,000 more back in it, or I'm not playing. So that part of it. But what I like about this, it means the lines of communication are open. It means Elgton Jenkins wants to be here. He wants things to get worked out. And he is in good faith, even though he's not practicing, coming in the building. He flew in. He's doing it. And I know you could sit out here and say, it's his job and he's undercut. No, he doesn't have to. I think him coming up here today is a great sign that communication and that this thing is going to get itself worked out, and it will be worked out before the mandatory training camp report date comes. This was a good sign. I think had he not come, that tells me things are a lot more contentious, and not saying I am not a reporter. I am not Ben Brust. I am not Jason Wilde. What I am saying is this is a good omen that something will get done. I'm not saying it's imminent, but this just being here today on June 10th is a great sign that both parties understand the scenario and something will get worked out.
So he's not giving away whatever small leverage he has of withholding his services. That's what you're saying.
No. No, well, he's not. Is he out there practicing, Jason?
He is not.
So are his services being withheld?
Well, his services are being utilized on a stationary bike. No,
would that stationary bike still be there? Would that stationary bike still be there if he wasn't there?
Yeah, I'm guessing Quay Walker would be using it instead. He's not practicing either. You're right.
Services are being withheld, but I think this is.
But he's not being fined.
Organizations. He's not getting fined, but I think the organization looks at this in a very positive light that he's here. And while it's not ideal, it is much better than if he's not here.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I hope. And I guess my final question on this before we put a bow on it and get to the 11 o'clock hour is, how confident are you if he's doing this and it's a show of good faith and an avoidance of a $104,000 fine that the Packers will do right by him and sweeten his contract? Because in theory, they certainly have the ability to play hardball and say, no, you know, we're gonna leave the contract the way it is. Because we want to be able to have the flexibility to release you after this season when you have a balloon payment of a larger base salary for 2026. And we might want to go with Jacob Monk, or we might want to move somebody else, Zach Tom to center, or whatever it might be. How confident are you that by doing the right thing by reporting, even if he's not participating, that now the Packers will do the right thing and sweeten his deal for him?
I am very confident that Green Bay will adjust his contract. Is it going to be as sweet as Elton and his team want? No. But I think it would be such an indictment on the Packer way if they didn't figure something out and they have to go into what we've all already said is a critical game one to reset the mindset of where we're at, that the Detroit blankin' Lions are the kings of the North, and you're going to not figure out a way to get your starting center that you moved in the building to play in that game. That would be bad news. That is stuff that organizations that aren't as quality as the Packers do. Now, I'm not saying give them everything, but I'm saying find a solution that you can still, if you need to get out of it, you can, but give Elton at least something to make him feel like I am ready to go play football for this operation. And if that is not the case and they can't figure something out and they have to start a young guy that they wouldn't even put in the game in Philly 6 months ago, 7 months ago, that would be a shame on us operation if that's how this plays out. And I don't think it will.
Well, once they do take care of him, I'm sure he will crack open a celebratory Coors Light.
Man, we cracked open a celebratory championship Coors Light last night after a big win. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill and crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged. So it is actually made to chill and make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.